Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. These are very dark days, but we want God's light to shine through these days. And first of all, we'd like to start off with, of course, giving this conversation to God in prayer. So, Ms. Christina, if you don't mind, Ms. Christina, would you start us off in prayer?
Diana, it's cutting out in and out on me, so
I don't know. I can hear you clear. Maybe it's just me. You want to go ahead and pray, Ms. Christina?
Okay. Lord, we just come together this evening, and we just thank you so much for the blessing of this time together. And, Lord, we just dedicate this show to you and to your glory, Lord. May the Spirit take control, and may all that be said and done here tonight be to your honor and glory. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings and your protection on each and every one of us as we go forward. And Lord, let this minister to those that hear. We thank you, Lord, that your word gets spread out far and wide. Lord, we just thank you that this nation turns back to you, Lord. We are in very dark times. We know it. And Lord, we're doing all we can to wake up the body of believers. So Lord, we just ask you as our words go forth tonight that they minister to people and they share these words. And Lord, that it causes them to wake up, to have a quickening in their spirit, that they need to turn back to you, Lord, and all things. And Lord, we just ask you for your hand upon all that we do and our children. Lord, we thank you and praise you and dedicate this show to your honor and glory in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Christina. Well, this is a wonderful night. We have got our dear guest friend, the Patriot, Pastor Garrett Lear from New Hampshire. And with that in mind, hi, Pastor Lear.
Well, we will have no other king but King Jesus.
Amen.
Good evening to you, sisters, and good to be with you on the broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. I have been behind.
And I do want to remind our listeners what Isaiah 33:22 says. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us.
Amen. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Pastor Lear. Well, let me go ahead and introduce, first of all, our dear friend from California, Pastor Lear. It is Miss Christina Micas that's on with us, and you've not been on with her before, but you're going to love her. If you don't mind, Miss Christina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm the co-founder of CURE, which is an organization for to fight against Common Core, Citizens United for Responsible Education. And I was also a former Tea Party leader that did that for 4 years. I'm a designer by trade, but the Lord called me into service. And so here I am serving the Lord, and now we are standing in the gap for the children. So that's my job now. And a lot of things going on, but we have God on our side, and that's where we're going. So that's just a little bit about me.
Thanks, Ms. Christina. And Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, tell the listeners about yourself.
Well, I'm called the Patriot Pastor because I am a patriot, and because I'm a pastor, and because I love pastoring patriots. And I am a Mayflower descendant with soon to be 393 years of ancestry in America. I've been in ministry full-time for nearly 40 years. Ministered all over the United States and all 50 states and through most of the provinces of Canada and Eastern Europe. Many years on radio and doing revival services and preaching in different churches, and founded the PatriotPastor.org and the Patriot Pastor and the Heroes of American Liberty, and travel around inspiring and encouraging people by preaching the Word of God. I'm also a chaplain for the National Society Sons of the American Revolution and the American Legion. I am myself, having formerly been in the United States Army during the Vietnam era, a variety of different things. And I'm also somebody like Miss Christina, who has stood against the Common Core, Agenda 21, ICLEI, and all these other UN-type sovereignty grabs that we're constantly facing throughout America. And, of course, I have been a popular speaker at tea parties all over the country, big and small, and just anecdotally, just sort of as a funny comment, the Boston Globe, which has become a very left-wing kind of newspaper, one of their reporters called up and she said, "You're the leader of the Tea Party." And I said, "No, I'm not the leader of the Tea Party. I've never organized a Tea Party. I've spoken in many Tea Parties, but I'm not the leader of the Tea Party." She said, "Yes, you are." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "The Tea Party doesn't have a leader. The whole idea of across America, this grassroots movement, which is how America came about in the first place." And I'm a direct descendant of a person who fought on April 19, 1775, in the Battle of Lexington, where the shot was heard round the world, which was a grassroots uprising, you might say. And we're encouraging Americans to do the very same thing again by being part of that grassroots movement, standing up for what is right, what is true, and reminding those people who are in governmental office that they work for us. We are not their subjects. We are not their, they are not our rulers. They are elected representatives in this constitutional republic. So that's just a little thumbnail sketch. Stay very busy at that.
I love it. I love it, Pastor Lear. Did you already mention something about the Black Robe Regiment? Had you already?
I did not mention that, but I should. Back about 20 years ago, while I constantly research the foundation of our country, I read through thousands and thousands of pages every year in documents, probates, historical accounts, and so forth and so on. And in our ministry library, we have quite an archive. And I ran across something that I really did not understand too well at the time, although I knew very much about the patriot pastors of the colonial era and many of their sermons. I actually have quite a number of them, and one of my ancestors, not only did I have ancestors who were preachers in that time, but I also had an ancestor who published their sermons, who was a printer in Boston. And so as I started researching, I found out that there was a group that they called the Black Robe Regiment. It was actually Prime Minister Waldo in Great Britain who was telling King George III, when King George was saying, well, why are these preachers preaching against me? And he said, well, methinks that, my lord, that Cousin America has been led astray by a Presbyterian parson. And then here in Boston, a man named Peter Oliver was one that used that terminology, the Black Robe Regiment, that they're inciting the people to revolt. And, of course, I studied the preaching of Charles Chauncey and particularly Jonathan Mayhew, who, can you imagine, the preaching was so strong against the stamp tax. He preached a message called The Snare Broken, that the stamp tax was repealed. So these people were highly regarded as a formidable enemy against the British crown, and actually the King of England offered handsome bounty for anyone who killed them, burned their churches, killed their family, burned their libraries, and anyone who didn't preach against the king, of course, would be paid and get a license to preach and so forth. And so at that time, I realized we needed to resurrect, if you will, for the 21st century, the Black Robe Regiment. And since that time that I brought those things up, and I taught David Barton about that and a few others along the way, they picked up on it, and they've actually probably taken it further than I've been able to, being that the resources they have available to them, and more people are awakening all the time. More preachers realizing they have to be preaching the Word of God from the pulpit and preach the truth about this country and our history.
Well, Pastor Lear, I am so excited that you're on this week. And, you know, God has his timing. I was just telling Miss Christina earlier that I had seen where Crystal Swayze, who's been on Glenn Beck talking about Common Core, had put out a National Week of Prayer. And, you know, which, of course, we love that idea. And so, you know, I've been trying to put it on Facebook. But then this past Sunday on our Bible study lesson, which we're teaching in our Sunday school, the Christian Heritage. So we've got a little DVD of a David Barton series, you know, that we play there for about 10, 15 minutes for the children to watch. And it just so happened that that particular lesson, that time, was on September 7, 1774, that first prayer in Congress. So I was able to download information, you know, and give it out, and I posted it on the Internet. And when Crystal Swayze, you know, called on that first week of prayer, I don't know that she realized that this is the time, you know, that we commemorate that first prayer in Congress, that three-hour session. And I thought, you know, of all the people that I could have asked to come on this week, there could not be a better person than you. Of course, you're going to talk about something else, too, but how important that was, Pastor Lear, for the movement, really. And it changed them. I think it changed their thinking. And if I remember right, this is called an imprecatory prayer. It's not the Psalm 35?
Right. Well, the thing is, many Christians today, and there's a variety of different theological stances that many Christians take throughout the country, whenever I introduce them to imprecatory prayers, they feel like they can't pray in a way that seems to them to be mean, that it's not nice. So, well, let me give you an example. If you have a loved one that's being harmed and so forth, would you pray that they'd be able to take their beating better, or would you pray the beating would stop? Well, of course, we'd pray that the beating would stop. So for me, in America, I pray that the people that are trying to destroy this country will stop. And either they get saved or they're removed. And, of course, we know that constitutionally that there are provisions that have been made so that people who don't keep their oath could be removed from office. I mean, otherwise, we live in a more or less an imperial presidency or divine right monarch.
Well, These are the days.
And that is not what we're supposed to be. So we do need to pray those kind of strong prayers, and I think when people are impassioned. See, for me, and I had this discussion on Saturday with somebody who said, oh, well, I'm tired of what's going on in America. I'm moving to Belize. He said, why don't you move to Belize? I said, let me tell you something. You think you're going to move to Belize and what? Live out the rest of your life there? With what's going on in the world, I said the best place on the face of this planet to be right now is in America if we're willing to stand up for what is right and what is true. And I said, from my standpoint, I can't go anywhere that the Lord doesn't tell me to go, and he's calling me to my own country. I'm a missionary to America, if you will. And to remind people, and of course, we have many prayer initiatives. On this past Friday night, gathered a group of people from a variety of different churches up here in Ossipee, New Hampshire. We had a fabulous three-hour time of prayer and praise and worship. We're starting 10 days of prayer tomorrow. So there are prayer initiatives going on all over the country. It has to start there. But many Christians should be reminded that when we pray, we're also listening for our marching orders. Some of those marching orders have already been given. With the Great Commission of 28:19 of Matthew and Mark 16:15. But as we pray and we're in the presence of the Lord, and as Hebrews 4:16 says, coming boldly before his throne of grace in our time of need, we need to listen and hear what the Lord is saying to us and what we need to do. And it kind of reminds me in 1 Chronicles 12 where the sons of Issachar knew what Israel was to do. That's what we need now. We need Christians praying and hearing what the Lord is saying, what he wants his church to do, what every believer is supposed to be doing, what we as Americans are supposed to be doing for our country. And, of course, the thing that I'm praying for all Americans is that they'll be of good courage and not be afraid. There are a lot of things that are scaring people. Well, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. No matter what's happening, we know that God is greater. And we know that he is on his throne. So it's an exciting time in my estimation to live, and it reminds me very, very much of some of the rigors of the early New Testament church. It reminds me so much about many of the rigors of the War for American Independence, that 8, almost 9 years of bloody war that we went through, where there's no doubt about it that if it weren't for prayer, and George Washington and our founding fathers always mentioned that, that they believed that they had prayed and the Lord had helped them in ways that only he could do, the divine hand of providence. And so it was interesting also as we're getting up to September 11th and St. Paul's Cathedral, when George Washington in his first term as president was walking down Wall Street and went to that St. Paul's Cathedral with John Adams as vice president and John Jay and others. And when they went into that church, what did they see in front of them? But basically a sign that said that Yahweh is God. And so to this day, a lot of people just don't realize how much the hand of the Lord was on us at that time. If you were a betting person, you wouldn't bet that we could have won the war against the most formidable military might in the world, not just military might. I mean, the sun did not set on the British Empire. They had military might, but they had financial might. And if it weren't for the miraculous things that happened, probably like the Battle of Trenton or the Battle of Brooklyn Heights, or you know, a variety of other such things like that, the Dutch wouldn't have come in. The French wouldn't have come in and helped us. Part of Germany actually came in and helped us, and the Spanish helped us. They wouldn't have helped us because they didn't want to be in any further trouble with the British. They helped because of the hand of the Lord was on us, and that was evident. And I believe we're going to need to know that and see that again in America today.
Well, Pastor Larry, you know, I was reminded of something that you just said. In the end of the Bible, I can't remember what chapter it is in Revelation, but Joni Erickson Tada had talked about courage. And that, you know, she was quoting the scripture there where cowards, I mean, it's really the first thing when you list the those that's not going to enter heaven. The first one was coward, those who lack courage. So that's really very interesting, Pastor Lear. because, you know, it's just kind of, it opens your eyes.
Well, it does. In fact, there are many passages of Scripture you can refer to in the book of Revelation. One that always pops into my mind is Revelation 3:17, because what does it say there? Jesus said, "I wish that thou wert hot or cold and not lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." And so what is lukewarm? Lukewarm is being afraid, not having passion. You know, many people say to me that I'm so passionate all the time about America. I say, well, of course, I love this country. I don't love America more than I love my Savior, but I certainly love America, my country of origin, and it's in my DNA, and liberty's in my DNA, and it's in my heart and my thinking and my way about things. And there are many things out there that can intimidate us and scare us, but yet, what does the Lord say? And not only be of good courage, but he also tells us in Galatians chapter 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap, if what? You don't faint, which in a sense, fainting is like being scared or not being courageous. And you look at Ephesians chapter 6, which is that spiritual warfare chapter, was to talk about. It says, put on the full armor of God and stand your ground. So I believe that many Christians have been sold a bill of goods that basically the personal teaching of Jesus to us as individuals, turning the other cheek, means to be weak. But the Lord never said to be weak. He just said to be meek, which means be humble. And so we definitely need that, and in humility. And, you know, I want to encourage our listeners, Miss Diana and Miss Christina, that I've had a lot of fun standing up and being courageous, and the Lord has helped me, and through his grace. I mean, if we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 at the end there, it talks about different things, how by God's grace, I've stood before legislators. I've been told I'm going to be arrested. I've been threatened with arrest in front of the White House, in front of the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. None of those things have happened to me. I've been threatened with it. I've stood in front of abortion mills all over this country, been threatened with all kind of things, and stood my ground, and the Lord has provided his grace to have the enjoyment of it. And it really is great to stand in the glory of the Lord when we do that. And one of the things that I always encourage in the Tea Party movement is coming out in public in these different parks and so forth where we've had these different meetings, and seeing the average rank-and-file Americans just coming out, the grassroots, was wonderful. And to tell them, don't be afraid, this is what America's about. And by the way, in colonial times, all the village greens were used that way. People came out on the village greens, and isn't it interesting that the Battle of Lexington was fought on the village green right in the shadow of the church building?
Well, Pastor Leary, since you mentioned that, I had been thinking about this, and Miss Christina, I'm sorry. We're going to get you in here. The Battle of Lexington, somebody had said, you need to air the David Parker interview that we did, you know, a long time ago. And I did. We aired it last night, or was it the night before? And, you know, it's still, isn't it funny how it's still what the wisdom that he gave, you know, is still there today. And, you know, you stood with the David Parker and his wife, Tanya. And I was thinking, of all places that went and happened in the first place, is that place where that shot around the world was heard from. And I'm thinking, isn't that just like the enemy? To come at the heart of this nation, where it all started, the birthplace, that's where that happened to him, where his right as a father was pretty much, you know, removed from him to the point that he had to go to jail. But we're right there now.
That's true, and that was quite a long time ago. And, of course, since that time, the radical homosexual agenda has really moved on along, and, of course, parental rights have gotten worse. David and Tanya actually moved to New Hampshire. They're living up here in New Hampshire, but I remember being at their house and being with them. David came and spoke at a convention that I put on in 2007 there. And on Lexington Green, a lot of people don't know this, but there is a stone there on the northeast corner of the green that has a musket and a powder horn on it, and it says this, in the words of John Parker. It says, do not fire unless fired upon, stand your ground, but if they mean to have a war, let it start here. That summarizes in a short statement the bravura of the true American. And see, all of the people who were standing there were Christians, every single one of them. John Parker, the captain of the militia, or the Minutemen on the Green, was deacon in the church right there on the green of Jonas Parker. Jonas Clark, who is the Patriot pastor of Lexington, 55 years, who was the pastor there. And see, they only had that courage to stand their ground. They did not fire first. And I can tell you, I will go to my grave saying this over and over again. I know for a fact that as good Christians, they did not fire first. They were defending. They were not assaulting. And that's why he said to them, do not fire. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it start here. Well, that's the same bravura the Americans have to have right now. We really do. And so David Parker and his two little boys, which the other thing was my uncle had been the school board chairman in Lexington, and I told David Parker I was with him also in his court case down at First Circuit Court in Boston. We stood out there in 14-degree weather, what that was all about. And I said, you know, if my uncle was alive, he would have been on your side. He would have sided with you in parental rights. So that's what it takes. And David, I remember sitting in David's living room and David saying, you know what? I've never been an activist in my life for anything. But he said, there's just a time where you have to stand up. And I think he was speaking the way many Americans are. He's just supporting his family. I mean, he was a research chemist. PhD, not an activist of a sort. But there comes a time where you have to stand up. There's no other way to do it.
Well, I just think it's kind of, you know, isn't it something that case that really is the start? You know, that was an old interview, but we're right in the middle of this now, Pastor Lear. It has really been ratcheting up, but how appropriate is it that God allowed us to remember it for such a time as this when we air that, and we're posting it everywhere because parents really need to get what he was saying and need to get ready to take a stand for their family, for their children. With that in mind, Miss Christina, how are you, Miss Christina? You're still on with us, I hope. Let's see, I'm hoping I didn't lose Miss Christina. I may have Pastor Lear. Let me see. I may have my computer's turned off, so I do not see her, so I'm going to try to get her back on. But Pastor Lear, we appreciate your stand, you know, with Judge Roy Moore. And the fact that he is now back in that position of power, I think there's something here that God is telling us, Pastor Lear. I don't think Judge Moore was brought back to this position of power for nothing. It's something very monumental happening.
Oh, absolutely. He's brought back. I believe that he's a man whose heart is with the Lord. I said to him a long time ago, stay with the judiciary. That's where your experience is. And you know, I've always wanted to believe that one day he would become the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And the thing that, you know, is so important for all of us, just like myself, I've gone through many difficulties. I've gone through many trials, many tribulations, and I tell people, I'm still here. I'm still going. I mean, I was conceived in October of 1947 at 23 Reed Street in Lexington, Massachusetts. I'm going to be beginning my 67th year in this body, and I'm still out there doing it. I'm still out there in these parades at April 19th this year. I mean, I was on Lexington Green. There was things going on April 16th. I led a color guard unit across the Concord Bridge. People say, how can you do that at your age? I said, well, first of all, I trust that the Lord will keep me going, but I also work on staying fit and taking care of myself as best as I can because this is a long war. We're not in just for a day or two. Many of the things that have happened, it's going to take a while. And so people like Judge Moore and others that have stayed in with it and haven't given up and frustrated and so forth and so on, because a lot of people, they just give up. You know, people have asked me, well, at your age, why don't you just retire and spend the rest of your life playing golf? I said, how can I do that? How can I spend the rest of my time playing golf? And I'm not against golf or any of those kind of things, but how could I be happy about that, knowing that my country needs me?
Well, Pastor, it's like the house is burning, and you cannot, you know, you're trying to wake up a lot of people, and I know you're doing a lot of good because I heard you. You've got Bible studies with, you know, people can't even imagine who the people are coming to see you because you're shining that light of hope in the dark. And that's kind of like what Miss Christina is doing. Hi, Miss Christina.
Hi, honey. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you loud and clear. Uh-huh. If you don't mind, Miss Christina, tell the Patriot Pastor, Pastor Lear, what you're doing, or if you have a question or comment for him, go ahead first with that, too.
Basically, I'm just listening to him because so many my wheels are turning. You know me. They're turning 90 miles an hour right now. When you were talking, Pastor Lear, about, you know, the UN Agenda 21 and all this is all I've been doing for the last many, many years. And then I got into this Common Core. And, of course, the minute I saw Common Core, I knew exactly where it came from, what it was, and who's behind it. So, you know, digging into a lot of information, this is so the One World Order takeover of our children. But with that being said, yes, we all have to be patriots. And what I'm doing now is something that the Lord has called me to do. We were in the process, you know, of fighting Common Core and everything, but God really wants us to stand in the gap for the children. And I really feel like he's leading us into a very interesting area. And what we want to accomplish is to create an alternative for parents so that they can get their children out of this system. Because as far as I'm concerned, Satan has taken over the system. And the only thing that we can do is get them out, and I think that is what God is calling us all to do, is get these kids out of the...
Well, I, many years ago, certainly got myself into a lot of trouble by making the statement that I did not believe the government school was the place to have our children,
That's right.
particularly Christian children. Our family was partly homeschooled, partly Christian school. And I've told parents, if you're going to leave your child in the government school, and it's not a public school system, it's a government school system, and they have an agenda, and that agenda is not our agenda. There's definitely no doubt about that. If you're going to do that, then you're going to have to stay very integrally involved with what's going on at the school. You're going to have to try to take over the school board and so forth and so on. And most people are not putting the effort towards that.
No.
And so I think withdrawing the children out of the school, home educating them, and I speak at a lot of home school or home education groups. I've been quite popular over the years teaching them. In fact, many of the events that I'm speaking at now, one just recently, five generations, there was a great-grandfather there too. And so I'm having great opportunity there and just telling people what we're up against is not something that's going to go away overnight. I mean, barring a miracle from Almighty God, and of course he can do it. But chances are, in some respects, it's almost like being in Babylonian captivity, you know, for 70 years, and we have to do the things that are right in the midst of being, you know, in a situation that is not to our liking. And, of course, when we study the works of, for example, somebody like Noah Webster, who is considered the father of American education, if you read the first 10 or 12 pages of the Noah Webster's Dictionary of the American Language, 1828 edition, you'll see what he believed that education was. If we go and read the old Deluder Satan Act of 1643, of what that said, of why we even had a public school system, why it was started. And so obviously it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And so we have to withdraw and protect our children. I mean, just the same as if you're a farmer, you better protect your seed. Because if you don't have any seed and you don't have any animals to procreate and so forth, your farm is dead. So we protect the children, bring them out, and the wonderful thing that we're seeing is that many of these young people are being educated, truly educated, and are outstanding. You know, and as I tell people, I'm thankful for anyone who does anything as far as what their giftings of the Lord are, but I didn't raise my children to be ditch diggers. I raised them to be prime movers, to move things in the right direction. There's nothing wrong with digging ditches and cutting trees. I was out there in my own place the last couple of weeks and cut a lot of trees to personal hard labor and dirty work and so forth and so on. But we need people who are trained to be able to stand up and win some of these cases in court, win some of these things in the medical establishment, yes, in the educational realm, and in all possible ways. We need those people, and they're going to take a specialized kind of training, but I do believe the Lord is raising them up.
I do believe, too. We just have to, we've got to give them the opportunity, and as long as they stay in the government schools, they will have no opportunity. And this, unfortunately, this agenda of theirs is moving at breakneck speed. So all of, you know, and God knows it. He knows what the timing is. And we're lucky if we have a year to accomplish what we need to accomplish because of how fast this is moving. So,
well, it's true. And the funding, of course, is when you're collecting tax money to support government schools, that's one of the things that we've tried here in New Hampshire for many years, to pull the money away from them. But we have not been successful at that. I mean, I can tell you that it was probably 20 years ago where I sat in the legislature and I said, I'm going to get that money back. But in the meanwhile, you're not going to have my children. And they asked me why. I mean, what do you got against the public school system? I said, well, first of all, how about your religion? We don't have religion. Yes, you do. It's called evolution.
Yeah.
That's your religion, or humanism and globalism and all these other things that I teach my children against. It's against this anathema to our faith in Christ and biblical worldview. And, of course, the issue of American sovereign constitutional republic is against that, too. So you're not going to have my children. But it's many parents, and the encouragement for our listeners out there, Ms. Christina and Ms. Diana, is that don't be afraid to do it. And I had a judge actually tell me, this was a person who had a PhD and a JD, you know, two graduate degrees, saying, I'm not qualified to teach my own child. And I said, you're joking. You're qualified to sit and make judgments day after day that affect people's lives and their finances and their freedom. You're qualified to do that, but you're not qualified to teach your own child. I said, that's absurd. Of course you're qualified. So the parents out there are probably afraid to say, well, you know, our children won't get socialized if we pull them out of the school. And, well, you don't want them to get socialized. We don't want little socialists. We don't want little communists. We don't want little fascists. We want children with a biblical worldview, because the biblical worldview in America in previous generations has made us the most prosperous nation on earth, and we're fast losing that.
Not to mention, the whole point of education was so that our kids could learn to read the Bible. Our nation
was based on it.
Yeah,
that's right. That's what the old Deluder Satan Act was about, so they could read.
It's interesting that you should mention the old Deluder Satan Act, because we wrote a letter to the Southern Baptist Convention. And in the this resolution letter that we wrote, we included the old Deluder Satan's Act in there. I typed out the whole thing. So it's we've strayed so far from where we were, but we're trying to get back there. Those of us that are awake and waking up, and I would love to chat with you more, Pastor Lear, about this. You know, one on one. But we really need to really stand up, wake up, and do what we have to do for the kids, because they're being destroyed in these government schools. And charters, don't be fooled by the charters. because that's the Trojan horse of Common Core. So parents, when people tell you, oh, you need to have privatization and vouchers and all that, no. The government needs to be out of the education of your child, period, in any way, shape, or form, because corporates is just going to be fascism, a marriage between corporate and government, and your kid is going to be the labor workforce that they produce. So this is why we, and don't be afraid, as Pastor Lear said, don't be afraid to homeschool. It's there's a lot of resources out there, and you know, if you come to CURE, www.natcure.org, you can find a lot of resources and things to do. So avail yourself of those and save your children.
Well, there are so many resources available, and not the least of which is other people who have experience. Homeschooling, or you know, some of the Christian schools and whatever. Although many of the Christian schools have succumbed to state incorporation and a variety of other things that gives the state access, but there are homeschool cooperative groups where there are older parents that have done it and can help others that are doing it. And in fact, just this past weekend, I had a visit from a family of seven children. And the parents, and they're homeschooled. This afternoon, I visited a farm where they have 10 children. They're all homeschooled, and they're bright, and they're brilliant, and they're lovely children, and they're not at all reluctant to have conversations on a whole lot of things, and they're very inventive and so forth. So, I mean, I do consider that really is the hope for America, is that if the Lord tarry his coming, as we often say theologically, that what we will have is we're planting for the future. And this is something that takes a while, but I try to encourage parents that, you know, to pay professionals to teach your child is in many respects anti-biblical. Because if we go to Proverbs 22:6, which is not the only one, and in the witness of two scriptures, a two-scripture witness, it's not the only scripture that says this, but train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old he won't depart from it. Parents are supposed to be teaching their children. They're supposed to do that. And they need to be doing that at home, and they need to be involved and so forth and so on, even if it means you got to drive an old car, even if it means you got to live in a littler house, or you know, go to the Salvation Army to get your clothes, do it. Make the sacrifice on behalf of your children so that they get the education that they need. And I believe that in every generation, though things may look, as many times the young people say, well, what's going to be left for us? The Lord has not forgotten any generation, whether they're called Generation X or Millennial or whatever they're called. He hasn't forgotten them. He's provided for those that open their hearts to him, and he will see them along, and he will show them what they need to do if we're going to take the time to help them to seek him. And teach them the right way, and it's a great joy to do that.
It's a wonder, and the colleges actually, recently I read an article that the colleges are actually preferring to take in homeschool children because they are actually academically there, whereas other children that, you know, come in, a lot of them are, they're either on affirmative action or this or that, or there's, you know, they're let's face it, they're just, we've got a dumbed-down generation. And so the colleges actually really like homeschool children. And you mentioned having
them having
a conversation.
Well, it's interesting when you study the lives of the founding fathers, for example.
When
I say founding fathers, there were hundreds of...
The difference is, the children from the government schools, they can't have a conversation anymore. Give it to them in a text or give it to them on a piece of technology and they'll speak to you. But to sit down and have a one-on-one with you, they don't do it anymore. They don't know how to communicate. It's a lost art. And
yeah.
So this is the difference between the homeschool and the government school. Communication.
Absolutely.
What a novel idea.
Well, and battles have been fought with the military, for example, to make sure that they cannot keep people who are homeschooled from joining. And it is actually illegal for a school to discriminate against a student because they're homeschooled. If they can pass the tests and they pass the standards, then they can't exclude them because they're homeschooled. So we've come a long way over the years. A variety of different homeschool groups have done a good job of that. And, of course, what's happened with Patrick Henry University in Purcellville, Virginia, is very interesting because they started off with just a few homeschoolers. Now every year they're getting more and more, and they're outstanding. And many of them are ending up in Washington in the political scene and in the law offices and so forth and so on, and doing some great stuff. That's the way that it happens. We train them up to be able to take their part in society and to affect changes from the within, from the inside. I mean, our system, and as I tell people, there is nothing wrong with the American system of government. We have the best system of government the world has ever known. The problem is we have people in that system that don't belong there. They're not educated in it. They don't love it. They don't care about it. They don't want to keep their oath of office. We need to replace them with people who do know what the system is about and how the system is to operate and what their parameters are. And then we will see things work and function the way they're supposed to.
Yeah,
Ms. Christina. With that in mind, we had a big, something happened in Alabama that was pretty big just last week. Lo and behold, they found out about a book that was listed on the Common Core website as an example of the kind of books that, you know, kids need to be reading. It was called The Bluest Eye, and it was an approved reading on the approved reading list put out by Common Core. And when you start looking at it, and the Blaze was good enough to help expose it, along with some of our friends on Facebook, Politichick, Macy France, it is written by an award-winning author. I think Toni Morrison was the name of the author. Mm-hmm. But in it was incest, pedophilia, rape. I mean, all the abhorrent things that you would not want your children exposed to was in it. And this is what galls me. This was the example. This was the one that was put on their website as an example. And our school board member, Betty Peters, was saying, well, you know, what they've done is pretty much, you know, set it up where there is a reading list. When they name all these books, they know that people are going to want to use that as a recommended reading because that's what they're going to be tested on. So here is this thing, and there was a student that said, well, it's on our reading list. We're going to be reading it. And parents in a school in North Alabama was calling the principal like crazy. And to the point that now, you know, it just, there was an awful lot of talk about it. We even had one of our legislators saying he was going to take that book out because it's very pornographic. But what he's missing is the people that had the mindset to develop Common Core, this was their premier example. And I'm thinking, you know, these people have got to get it right. But there's a fight brewing in Alabama, Pastor Lear, and I'm so grateful because that ugliness needed to be seen. And so more parents are waking up, and they're very angry. And it almost feels like, you know, we're back in those days of tyranny, Pastor Lear. And I know you've got some encouraging words for us, but go ahead, Ms. Christina, and I'll ask him to be sure to give us some encouraging story or words before we get off. Go ahead, Ms. Christina.
I've enjoyed, you know, talking to you, Pastor Lear. And like I said, I'd like to, you know, speak with you more where I can go more in depth as to what we're doing because you might be interested.
Sure. Yes.
So, We have a lot in common. So
yes, we do, and I'm glad of that. And that brings up a point, too, that I think we need to make. When you see what's going on across the country and you follow, I mean, we don't have much in the way of media outlets. The major media outlets are obviously part of this whole agenda. You think that you're just the only one, or you think there's just not a whole lot of people out there. But the truth of the matter is I travel across this country and do a lot of radio broadcasts and have people call in and so forth. There are many people in this country that believe, as we are talking about right now, that believe as we do. And so the encouragement is to say, just like in the days of Elijah when he thought he was the only one and hid in a cave, don't go hide in a cave. And don't think you're the only one. You're not. The Lord is providing the grace to stand up against these things and enjoy it. I mean, and recognize that this is for such a time as this, just like in the days of Esther and Mordecai. For such a time as this are we called.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. And two, I think one of the things that God has been telling me, and I've heard it resonate with somebody else today, is that, you know, you have not because you ask not. And one of the things that I have really put out there, you know, and it's wonderful to talk to you, and it's wonderful to talk to my own pastor who you've met, you know, and men like Judge Roy Moore. But what God, I think, is telling me is that, you know, we really need to be encouraging people to go before their pastor. It's kind of like going before the leader, the king, like Esther did, and give them the information because the children in their congregation are in danger. And it's happened three times. We have tried that, Pastor Lear. We went. Of course, we covered it in prayer. And we prayed before, you know, before we started a conversation. But three times, we were very pleasantly surprised at the attitude of the pastors, which makes me wonder and think, again, we have not, because we haven't been asking them. We haven't been going to them. And it's like, it's time. I mean, if they say no, say no. But if you don't even go, you may have missed a great opportunity.
Well, that's true. If they say no, then we haven't lost anything by going. And we never know when they're going to say yes, when we've presented something in a way that they can understand and see what their part is in it.
So we need to go. But now, Pastor Lear, was there something else you were going to cover tonight? I think we went off on something else.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we obviously need to be praying right now about what's happening concerning war in Syria, and I am concerned about that, obviously, because of the things that go on there. But one of the main things that I want to get across to our listeners tonight, most of the people that I know spend much too much time paying attention to all the fallenness of the world, instead of to the grace and the goodness of Almighty God and looking at God's design. I want to encourage the people on this broadcast to spend more time reading the Word of God, reading the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, than they do reading the newspaper. Yes, we need to know some of the current events and so forth, but if we spend too much time, and this is part of the reason why many people lack courage, is because they have not first and foremost gone to the Word of God and seen this is not the first time that God's people have been in a dilemma. This is not the first time America has been in a dilemma. We've been in many dilemmas. And so it's very important that we trust the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Word of God and see what we are looking at through the Lord's eyes and know what to do about it. That's very important so that our time is used well. And we can be sure that the Lord cares about this country. And it's not so much that the Lord wants to save America, but the Lord wants to save Americans, as he wants to save all those who will throughout the world.
Well, Pastor Lear, one of the stories that I love for you to tell, and I'll ask you again if you don't mind, is, you know, the story of Valley Forge. And I think about the fact, if I remember right, that those men could have left. They didn't have to be there suffering as they were suffering. They could have went on home to warm homes and certainly, you know, with shoes and better clothes. And I think we've come a long way from remembering the sacrifice that, you know, that really formed this nation. And you know, it just breaks my heart when I hear about what's happening with the military, the don't ask, don't tell. And I think, was it today or yesterday, I heard them say 349 of, you know, committed suicide, I think, last year. And, you know, I wonder if part of that is because we're not really holding up the things that count the most. I mean, you know, you got so many chaplains that can't pray in Jesus' name and don't pray in Jesus' name. And yet these are the people that need to hear about Jesus the most.
Well, that's true. And, of course, the military is not supposed to be a social engineering experiment. According to our Constitution, the military is supposed to be there to defend, for national defense and defend our borders and our interests in that way. So, obviously, it's a big mistake that's being made. But at the same time, I also recognize that no matter whether we're told to pray in the name of Jesus or not, I'm encouraging people to do it. Do it anyway. If you're told not to and you're going to be fired for it, then be fired for it. I mean, but it's better to stand up, and I think we'll see some changes along the way when more and more of those people who are in that situation will stand up, and it may mean they'll lose their jobs and may mean that they'll get themselves in trouble, but the Lord can work that out too if we're willing to stand our ground for the right cause. And the cause that's right is the cause of Christ. We'll have no other king but King Jesus, and remembering that somebody has definitely tried to steal our country, has stolen our country. I can tell you, I didn't give this country away, and I didn't sell her, but I think there are people that are giving it away, and I think there are people that are selling her.
Amen.
Well, it's very encouraging that you're teaching whoever will come your way, Pastor Lear.
And
I mean, it doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, well, this is, you know, I'm a conservative, I'm this and that. No, you're not. You're a traitor to our country.
Well, Pastor Lee, would you mind sharing the Valley Forge story?
I will.
I just really
the
love
situation
that.
Of Valley Forge was particularly difficult because the troops were tired. They were hungry. Martha Washington usually liked to review the troops, and General Washington said to her, you know, I don't think it's a good idea that you come because the men are in such a state of nakedness and so forth that they'll be embarrassed and so forth. And they were expecting to get to Valley Forge and to find food and clothing and things. They were going to hold up for the winter there because Valley Forge is a little milder climate than some of the other areas right around there in the Northeast. And when they got there, some trader, somebody had sold them out and all the goods and so forth that had been put there, the British came and said, hey, we won't even have to fire a shot. We won't even have to expend any blood or any soldiers on this. We'll just take away all their provisions and they'll probably all desert because it's a bad winter and they won't have clothing or food. And, of course, as you look at the picture of George Washington kneeling down at Valley Forge beside his horse's name was Blueskin. He was praying, but he was also thinking about butchering his horse. He actually told some of the men he was going to butcher the horse and at least tried to feed them with that, and they said, no, General, we'd rather see our general riding his horse than to have the horse butchered, and besides, there's so much starvation here, one horse wouldn't feed many people anyway. And they could have run away, they could have gone home, but they didn't. They stayed there, and of course, it was easy to follow them because many of them had no boots. Their feet were actually bare. They had rags tied around them, and they could track them in the snow with the blood that was coming from their feet. This is the bravura that started this country. People saying there's something worth dying for. There's something worth living for. There's something, even when things are not convenient, even when they're not pretty, that's the way Valley Forge was. And, of course, once again, that there was a traitor that sold them out. I mean, that's very disconcerting. To think that all those goods that were put there, that the British came and took them. Of course, later, you know, we found that in the Battle of Trenton, we know what happened in the Battle of Trenton, where we got a whole lot of things from the Hessians who'd just been resupplied. But it's really what America's about. That's in our national ethic, that there are people who are saying, you know what, maybe we're suffering. We're going to have to go through some suffering. But if we don't go through this suffering now, we will never be free. We will never have true liberty. We will never be able to own property. We'll never be able to raise our children the way we want to. We won't have true freedom to worship Christ and have religious freedom, freedom of speech, and so forth and so on. And I'm sure all of them, and that's before the Declaration, well, it was after the Declaration of American Independence, but it was before the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but I'm sure they had that on their hearts and thinking, well, this is some kind of suffering we're going through, but maybe it'll be better for our children, for our posterity. And that's a word I hope our listeners remember. Do what you're doing. Stand up not only for yourself out of selfishness. stand up for the children, as Miss Christina said, stand up for your posterity. That's the most important thing. We have no heritage if our children do not prosper and go on from here.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. You know, just exactly the words we needed, Miss Christina.
I love that.
God's timing is perfect, isn't it? I mean, thank you, Pastor Lear. You couldn't have come at a better time, a better week. This was God. And I'm so grateful that God is so good to us. He helps us remember because we've got to remember. You know, like you said, you know, it's stiff and spine. You know, and I just love it that you came to Alabama and you invested. You know, those were trying times for you. You know, people don't know what you had to endure while you were in Alabama doing what you had to do, going everywhere that people wanted you to go. But it was sacrificed because you were looking out for your posterity.
it was a great blessing, Pastor Lear. And I'll look forward to coming back very soon to Alabama. In the meanwhile, it's nice to be able to be on with you, and I appreciate so much what you're doing, Miss Diana, over these years, and also you, Miss Christina, new friend out there in California. And I appreciate the fact that across this country there are people like yourselves, men and women, who are willing to sacrifice for something very valuable. And my experience with the Lord is we never outgive God. Whatever we sacrifice on his behalf, he always multiplies that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
thank you.
And
thank you
great.
For that reminder. Yes, he is great. And with that in mind, Pastor Lear, there might be some people listening that are, you know, I think there's a lot of parents, Pastor Lear, that, you know, may not know our Lord and Savior, but they're hurting. They have such a love for their children. And it's breaking their hearts to see the children suffer. You know, they're stuck, you know, in school, and they don't know what to do. But would you like to close in prayer and keep those people in mind? And, of course, you know, this enemy, it's not even Common Core. It's the people behind it, that we should be praying against. But if you don't mind, Pastor Lee, would you close this prayer in prayer?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your plan is on track, moving as it does from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Nothing stops you, your Almighty God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you came and were willing to suffer and to die. Otherwise, we'd have no hope. We wouldn't be able to talk in a hopeful way now as we've been talking this broadcast. For anyone that's listening tonight, it's not an easy thing in this society with what's going on to be a parent, but where do we get the skills? Where do we get the knowledge? Where do we get the direction? Where do we get the help we need to be parents? We get it from the best father there ever was, our Heavenly Father. Jesus helps parents to raise their children in the way of the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, also that we've been given a courage to say, well, I've made mistakes. I've sinned against you, but you're full of forgiveness when we ask, when we repent of our sins. You forgive us and you restore us to a right relationship. I also pray, Lord, that those people that are dead set against doing what is right, that are fighting against you, nobody stands against the throne of grace and ever succeeds. We know that. But in our country, those that want to bring about an evil agenda in the schools through Common Core or any of these other things that are happening state by state, we pray that what they're doing will come to no effect, that they will be seen for who they really are, and that they will be revealed, and those people that are doing what they're doing, thinking they're doing a right thing, that they will be under the conviction that you, God, the Holy Spirit, would bring upon them to say, no, this is not the right way. This is not the right thing. And that they will turn around and leave that. And many who are insiders that are doing this agenda will stop. In Jesus' name, stop. And go the right direction. Or be removed. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that your love is without compromise, that your love is unending. But at the same time, we also thank you that you are the God of justice. Justice will prevail. And we thank you, we praise you as always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Lear, thank you, sir. It has been awesome to have you, and I will give Miss Christina's email to you. I'll send you both your emails, and
okay.
I just hope that, you know, people that's listening, that they will just remember your words of wisdom, and God is so good.
Do what's right for your kids.
Well, I appreciate that opportunity, and any of our listeners, please feel free to contact me at thepatriotpastor.org and be glad to help in any way I can.
Thank you, Pastor Lear. Well, God bless you, sir. And where are you headed
you
off
too.
To? I know you're traveling all over the country. So where's next?
Connecticut. Massachusetts and Connecticut. Putting a lot of time in there because of all the things that are going on. And I will be going out west at the end of October and spend a few weeks out west like I do there in Utah, Nevada, Arizona, and a couple of other places out that way, and never know. I mean, the Lord opens doors all the time.
You don't want to come to California? You don't want to come to Blue California?
Why not? I'd be glad to come to California.
Oh, God. California.
I lived in California back in the early 70s. I lived in Santa Monica.
You do? Well, it certainly has gone down the tubes.
It's a beautiful state, and I know there's a lot of things going on there, but I do trust and believe that there are many people like yourself out there, Miss Christina, that who are going to stand their ground.
Well, we do, but this is the petri dish for everything else.
Yes.
Yes, it is, unfortunately. But anyway.
Well, hopefully Pastor Lear can also visit Alabama and spend some time with us, and I'm sure Joshua Moore, nobody thought would be in that position of power, Pastor Lear. Who would have thought? Well, you did.
I did.
You did.
I actually believed it was going to happen. Can you imagine that?
I said
it was going to happen. I believed it was going to happen, and it did.
Well, Pastor Lear, did you know that he was on the show with Luca Bocci? You remember your friend, your Italian friend, Luca?
No, weren't all three of us on together at one point there?
Oh, my goodness. I think so. And,
yeah, we were.
Luca had said something about that at least we have the Constitution to go back to. As bad as
well, and that's,
were for
and that's
us.
True.
And that's why
there
Judge Moore ran.
Truth to that. The
he
thing
ran
is,
2 weeks later.
Though, in some countries, they don't have any of these things, and they've got to get them. It's like with us, we've got to take ours out of mothballs. We've got to get it out of the attic and clean it up, repaint it, and start to use it. But in some countries of the world, they don't have it at all. And so it's a whole different thing, you know?
Yes, I think, and I'm believing that Alabama, that something, just as Judge Romore was assigned for us, I believe something monumental is going to happen in Alabama. But we've got to have the pastors involved. And praise be to God, there are people knocking on the pastor's door. Thank you for this pastor, Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear, for taking a stand. Well, Pastor Lear, God bless you, sir.
You too.
And we'll be talking to you next month. And Miss Christina will talk to you on later on tomorrow, I'm sure. So listeners,
nice.
I hope you'll share the podcast and learn, and please, you know, don't forget what Pastor Lear said. Get in the Word. My goodness, it is a lamp unto our feet. And I love it, Pastor Lear, because God said, man does not live on bread alone, right? On every
That's
word.
Right, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
With that, please remember what that is and enjoy what that means. God bless you, and may God shine
you too.
His face.
Lord bless. Talk
Thank
to you again
sir.
Soon.
Talk
Bye-bye.
To you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.